Greetings to you from our great King in heaven, God our Father, and Jesus Christ our Savior, and all of the riches of his glory. Amen. Well, today is Stewardship Sunday, one of the Stewardship Sundays, and today I'd like to talk to you about this question. Does God really reward a person according to his deeds? Does he recompense a person according to what he's done? Does he repay each person for what they have done in this life? What do you think? Sometimes, you know, you might say yes, or maybe no, or maybe all the time, maybe never. I think this is a super important question for us to talk about today on Stewardship Sunday, because if you believe that God rewards you according to what you do, your zeal for good deeds is going to be amazing, and to avoid sin and such. But if you believe that God doesn't reward, where will be your zeal at that point? You might even fall into sin. You might even fall into sloth. So let's take a look at this question together today in the scriptures and see what God teaches us in his word, the Bible, about does he actually really, truly reward a person according to his deeds, according to what a person does in this life or not, for our zeal and clarity and excitement in the faith. Let's take a look and see what God would teach us about that. What's he say? Well, first of all, if you look around at the world, I think we can say that most people in the world, many, or if not most people, do not believe that God rewards a person according to his each and every deed. Wouldn't you say? At least most people live out their lives as if this were not so. You could look, for example, at little kids on the playground. I love little kids on the playground, and they have their fun, and they play with each other, but it's not long before you see one steal from the other, or you took my toy and I bop you on the head. Or to disobey a parent. Or to say no when the parent says to do this or that. And so there's no fear or there's no knowledge that God is seeing or judging or going to repay according to what is done in little children. Then they get to be older as teenagers, right? And teenagers are notoriously obedient, aren't they? Disobedient. They break the rules. And even though they're living out their lives and going to high school and enjoying themselves, and that's all fine, they have sometimes very vicious words. They text each other on the phone. And so many times I hear teenagers say, oh my God, this, or oh my God, that, oh my God, using the Lord's name in vain, and such things, without ever a thought that God is seeing, recording, and repays a person according to what he does. And that thought doesn't even come to mind. And then college, that's just a wonderful place. It is, actually, but a lot of times on a college campus, you know what goes on there. Many drink to get drunk, right? And party, sleep around. And this and many things they do without any ever thought that God is seeing or is going to reward according to what they do. The thought doesn't even come to mind. Then you get to be an adult, and we should know better, but we go off to our careers, and that's great for the fulfillment of self and family, and that's wonderful. But there's, again, no zeal, it seems, a lot of times for doing good, at least in the unbelieving world, non-Christian. And there's no zeal to avoid, you know, speaking negatively of people, of gossiping or of judging or holding a grudge, not forgiving, giving their mouths free rein to evil, and just pursuing the pleasures of the world for the self, without any thought that God is watching carefully, recording, and is going to repay and bring these deeds back to them. And then you get old, right? You retire, and you live the golden years. Not so much when you go to the doctor every day, but you live the golden years. And it's very supposed to be, you know, enjoying the fruits of your labors without a care, sort of like the rich man in Luke chapter 12, where he said, I have all these goods. I'm going to build larger barns and store all my goods, take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry, being rich toward himself, but not rich toward God, because he has no idea of God seeing and recording and returning to him for his deeds in this life. And such is the way that I see of much of the world, most of the world, when I look out there. This notion that God is a rewarder of people is not really believed on, or at least Even if they say they believe, they don't live out their lives in such a way. And this isn't new. You can go right back to ancient days, Psalm chapter 10, where it says, "In the pride of his countenance, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Thy judgments are on high out of his sight." In other words, these kinds of notions, these kinds of beliefs, these kinds of thoughts are so outside of his realm of thinking, they don't even come to him. They're high. They're out of his sight. He thinks in his heart, "I won't be moved. Throughout all generations, I won't meet adversity. God's forgotten. He's hidden his face. He'll never see it." And don't you think when you look at the world, a lot of people live that way? God has forgotten. He won't see all these things. He won't repay. He won't return. And so such is the world. But then again, I think a lot of Christians live that way too. Do you think? Now, we believe that God sees us and records things, but a lot of Christians too, we don't think about God as a rewarder of our every deed and action because, well, we got the gospel. And what is the gospel? We're saved how? By God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from our works, apart from the deeds that we do according to the law, right? Amen? "For we are saved by grace through faith," says Paul. "This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast." And so we say, since it's not by works, then, and it's not by faith alone, then works are not really regarded. They're not recorded. They're not repaid. They're not brought back to a person. Is that really the case? That our deeds are not noted by God and rewarded by him? Is it right for us? Christians do good deeds out of love, and that's number one. But should we ever have an eye toward the reward, I ask you? What do you think? Should we ever have an eye to the reward? Is it scriptural to say we should never be looking or seeking for that reward that comes from God? Well, let's refresh ourselves in what God tells us in the scriptures. Let's take a look right now by opening God's word. Psalm chapter 7, verse 14. Let's hear about one of God's judgments. God says, "Behold, the wicked man conceives evil, is pregnant with mischief, and brings forth lies. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole which he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and upon his own head his violence descends." Does that sound like a deed returns upon a person? God returns a person's deeds. It's sort of like a boomerang. Anybody ever used a boomerang? You take this boomerang and go, and you forget about it. You think it's gone, and after a little while, boom, and it comes back and hits you again. God ensures that that's going to happen because he is a just judge. He's a righteous judge. He always brings back and repays according to what's right. Good deeds upon the head of a person who does good, evil deeds upon the head of a person who does evil. These are things are boomerangs because God is just. Just like you read there of David with respect to God bringing back good upon him. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. He said, "The Lord is my rock. He's my deliverer. He's my fortress, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my Savior. For on the day when my enemies came upon me, the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted into me." Delighted me. When watch this, he says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me." Does God reward a person according to his deeds? You tell me. According to these verses, he does. He is just. He watches all that goes on among the sons of men, and he returns a person's deeds back upon their own head. Good to those who seek after good, and evil upon those who seek after evil. Just like that story in the Old Testament. I love this one. Queen Esther. And in that story, the Jews are exiled into a foreign country in the Persian days, in the Asian days of the Persian Empire. And there are two men. One is wicked Haman. He's the right-hand man of the king. And then there is righteous Jew named Mordecai, who served at the king's gate at the palace. But we read there that Haman, the wicked one, saw Mordecai, the Jew, in the king's gate, that he neither rose nor trembled before him, and he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. "Oh, that Jew, he never bows to me when I walk by," says wicked Haman. So what's he do? He goes home to his house, He calls over his wife, Zeresh, nice name, and his friends, and he says, I don't have any peace as long as this Mordecai is here. So what does his wife suggest? Oh, we have an idea. Myself and the friends, let's have a gallows made, a place where you can hang people, 50 cubits high. Hang Mordecai on that, and then you'll be happy. And then you can go to dinner tomorrow night with a merry heart. He's like, great idea. And I'm thinking, nice wife, right? I mean, would you like a wife like that? Goodness. So, indeed, he has the gallows made. But that very night, the king couldn't sleep. He asked for the chronicles, the book where all deeds are recorded, to be opened before him. And he reads in there that Mordecai once had saved the king's life by tipping him off about a hit that was coming out on the king. And he says to his servant, what has been done for this man who saved the king's life? And at that very moment, guess who arrives? Haman comes in. He says, Haman, what should be done for the man who saves who the king wants to honor? Oh, says Haman, thinking he's talking about me. I know what can do. Bring out your best robes. Put him on your own horse. Parade him through the streets by one of your best nobles, and have everybody cheer and chant that this is what will happen to the one whom the king delights to honor. And the king says, that's a good idea, Haman. Go and have it done to Mordecai. And he's like, So the wicked one comes down, and the righteous one goes up. Well, meanwhile, Haman had decided to kill all of the Jews. And he had a plot out. And Queen Esther, meanwhile, when he gets to dinner, that dinner he wanted to go to with Queen Esther and the king, and Haman is there, Queen Esther says, Oh, king, there is someone who is plotting to take my life and the life of my people. And the king in a rage says, Who would dare to do such a thing against my queen? And she goes, A wicked man, a terrible name, man, Haman. And he was in great terror before the king and the queen. And someone said, Why, here's the gallows that Haman had made for Mordecai in Haman's house. That Mordecai that you just honored today, says the king, hang him on that. And he was hanged, and the king's anger was abated. Wow. I want to ask you, does God return a man's deeds back upon his own head? In this case, we certainly see that, and it was because of a book of remembrance that was written. One was exalted and the other one was brought down. God works in the same way. Now, in the gospel, what has happened? He has forgiven us our sins. All our deeds were returned upon Christ's head. Our sins are forgiven, but are your good deeds recorded? Should you have a great zeal? Is he a rewarder of those who serve him and give? Well, is this only the Old Testament? Well, let's take a look at the New Testament. In the New Testament, we read about Herod the king. Remember him? Wicked guy. What are one of the several Herods in the New Testament. Acts 12 says he laid violent hands upon some of those who belonged to the church. He killed James with a sword, and then he put Peter in prison. Well, God sent an angel and delivered Peter out of prison. But then we read Herod, for all of his violence, one day put on his royal robes, took a seat upon the throne, made a great speech to the people in Tyre and Sidon, and the people shouted, That is the voice of a god and not of a man. And at once an angel of the Lord struck him because Herod didn't give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. I mean, that's kind of interesting. I was memorizing that verse this week, by the way, and I was thinking, don't you die and then get eaten by worms, right? But in this case, he was eaten by worms and then died. That's pretty bad. But God saved Peter, and God brought down Herod. God returns a person's deeds. God is a rewarder. Why then don't we believe this? Well, Jesus, remember at the very last verse almost of the Bible, as he's about to return, he says this. He says in verse 12, Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So is God a rewarder of those, of our deeds? I'm bringing my recompense. What is a recompense? A reward, a retribution, a payback. He wants to pay you back. And for our good, or for evil, for those who do evil. Jesus says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. So much so, Jesus says, that good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. When you do good, God will pour out an abundant reward upon you. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to mark these and lay them to heart today? Because this is going to affect your zeal a lot. Jesus says, "And that I tell you, in the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter." Yikes, right? How many people are giving their mouths free rein for evil? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, speaking poorly, or gossiping, or grudging, or speaking evil of others, not knowing that all these, all the while, are being written, every word. And there's a payback coming for these things. Jesus says, by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. And the same Paul, who preached to us the gospel that we're saved by grace through faith apart from works, says also in 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before this judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Wow. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. I'm going to ask you right now, do you believe this? And do you set this before your eyes today? I think as Christians, we might know it, but we shuffle it off and sort of just forget about it. God says, set this before your eyes today. Why don't we think about this thing? Or why don't we bear this in mind? Can I tell you why I think we don't bear this in mind? Because sometimes God's reward comes immediately. Like a thief pulls his first heist, he gets caught, he goes to jail, and the policeman who catches him gets a raise and an award. We get that, an immediate reward. But when the reward is delayed and comes many years later, or perhaps not till the end of life, or perhaps never in this life, but only on the day of the Lord's coming, we tend to think God is not rewarder of our deeds. You can have a person, for example, who says, hey, I got drunk last week. Nothing happened. I'm here today. God missed it. There's no fear of retribution. I'll do it again. I got away. Or I stole from my boss last week. God never saw it because nothing ever happened to me. I'm perfectly fine, and I'm a little richer now. No fear of reprisal. Or I slept with my girlfriend last weekend. It felt good. Nothing happened. I feel wonderful. I'm not judged, so I can do it again and again and again without fear. I don't have to worry about marriage. Without fear of a consequence. But God says this in Scripture. Listen carefully. Are you with me? And in Psalm 94, he says, understand, O dullest of the peoples, you who slay the widow and the sojourner and murder the fatherless and say, the Lord doesn't see and the God of Jacob doesn't perceive. Fools, when will you be wise? He who put the ear in your head, doesn't he hear? He who created your eye, doesn't he see? Is that true? Do you think God doesn't see or hear these things? He made ears. He created eyes. He sees. He hears all these things. But as it says in Ecclesiastes 8, because sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set upon doing evil. Do you think that's true? Because you don't get a reward, immediately come, you think, hey, I'm getting away with it. And so people's hearts are fully set on evil, not knowing that there is a day of retribution that's coming. That's right, Dan. For God says in Psalm 37, yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more, but though you look well to his place, he'll not be there. But the meek shall possess the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity, for the Lord will not forsake his people or abandon his heritage. His justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. So I want to ask you today, does God reward a person according to his deeds? Yes, we're saved by grace through faith apart from works, but our deeds are seen, written, heard, recorded, and there is a retribution coming. How does this change the way you want to live your life? And if you know that you have but little time to go, and you know God says, hey, look, I'm going to tell you how this goes. I'm going to repay. You got a certain amount of time. I want to pay you huge sums of rewards. What would you do with your time? I'm going to be about the business of the kingdom. I want to give and do and serve as much as I can because the reward is there. God says, go for the gold. You should be like a Wall Street trader who's out there trading on the stocks, like the parable of the talents. I got 5 talents. I went quickly at once and traded and made 5 more. Are you, as a Christian, as zealous and ambitious as a Wall Street trader on the stock market to make your money or to make your riches? Well, God says ambition of the world is evil. It's devilish because they're going after worldly goods, worldly money that flies away. But heavenly ambition is good. Why? Because it's born of faith. Listen very carefully to this word from Hebrews 11. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and, who knows it? And knows that he rewards those who seek him. If you would draw near to God, you believe that he's a rewarder of your deeds, don't you? Do you believe that today? God is a rewarder of your deeds. And therefore, Jesus commands you, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust are going to consume it and eat it and thieves are going to break it and steal it. Rather, lay up for yourselves. Be about the business of laying up for yourselves treasures in the heavens where there are no thieves. There are no moths. There is no rust. It never fades in glory, your reward there. Jesus commands you so earnestly, get about the business. Be ambitious. To be rich towards God, using your time wisely. For Jesus says to the man who invited him to a feast, when you give a dinner, when you give a banquet, don't invite your friends. Don't invite your kinsmen, your rich neighbors, because they're just going to invite you back and pay you, and you'll already be repaid. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor there. Invite the maimed, the lame, the blind. For then when they come, they can't repay you. Truly, I say to you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Isn't that beautiful? God is so zealous for you to get super rewards from him that he tells you ahead of time, this is how it works. I repay. I'm giving you time. This is what you need to do. Be about your business. Because when I come, I want to say, well done. You've been faithful over a little. Now let me set you over much. Good idea for Stewardship Sunday and any Sunday. Invest, God says. And this is supposed to give us great energy for zeal, for good. We do good to others because we love them. But God says the idea and the eye toward a reward is also holy. So go for the gold. Go not for the gold of this world, but for the gold of heaven. And such is then a blessing to God, to others, and to yourself. As John the Apostle said, look to yourselves, that you may not lose what you've worked for, but may win a full reward. And Paul, at the end of his life, said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And you know what there is for me now? The Lord has laid it for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. And even Jesus endured the cross, it says, for the joy that was set before him. For the reward. He endured it for love of you. Because guess what? Here I'm coming to the conclusion, so listen up. You are Jesus' reward. He came to save you. And if God returns a man's deeds upon his own head, and we have a lot of evil deeds, which we all do, the really great news today is that Jesus came to pay them already for you. They've already been returned back upon someone's head. All your deeds, like a boomerang, have gone out, your evil ones, and they've returned, God says, upon the head of my son, in your place, as a sacrifice. So you are now set free. I won't hold you accountable for your sins, you who believe on my son, Jesus Christ. You've confessed them, believed in him. You are redeemed, ransomed, paid back, forgiven. They've already come back upon someone's head, upon the head of my son. You are free. But now you have time to do these good deeds and lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Be about the business, my people. For behold, he's coming with the clouds. Behold, Isaiah says, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense is before him. Therefore, with zeal today, let's go out to love and do good, saying with Paul, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.